This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 333. We're up to the sequel in the Star Wars franchise. We're up to the beloved version, the one that everyone claims is the best one in the entire franchise. We're up to The Empire Strikes Back from 1980. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, before we continue on with this beloved film review, please introduce our special guest.
All right, well, we got a special guest this week. He is a buddy of ours. We've worked with him a number of times over on YouTube, but this is his first time coming on the podcast. I did give you a little preview last week. We are here with our friend Rich. He is from the Faces for Radio podcast, but he's going to tell you in just a moment where you can find him. So Rich, say hello to everybody and let them know where they could find you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you guys more than you know. You guys are just always kind and you guys always make me laugh. And you can find me over on YouTube at the Faces for Radio podcast YouTube channel, where it's my buddy, partner in crime, David, 4K Lowdown. You can find us there. And you can find me on Instagram at TurnerFan77 and our Faces for Radio Instagram page at Faces for Radio.
So there you go. And David, his partner, has been on our show before and he will be back. He did The Rock with us and Mad Max Fury Road. He got episodes coming up next month. He's going to be back in March. So there you go. In 2 weeks, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
He's
coming
back. Well, there you have it, guys. Now we're going to hit off with the financials. How much money did Empire Strikes Back made in 1980? Okay. And then we're going to go into the Rotten Tomatoes scores to see what the critics and audience have to say about the film. But let's kick it all off with some financials. 1980, thinking, wow, this is going to be some awesome scores. But bro, people loving the Star Wars. Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking about a budget of $18 million. Mm. This is some Blumhouse shit from 1980. All right.
Right.
Because they're about to make a whopping $538 million in the box office. Okay.
Pretty
so what
good.
Do you guys think, Rich?
What was that?
$538 million on an $18 million budget.
That is still more than what Madam Web made. Way more.
Wow. You ain't wrong.
I think that's great for 1980 money.
Yeah.
All right. Nate? You said in 1980, it had a budget of 15, right?
18. 18 million.
Oh, 18 million. All right. Mm-hmm. So just for context, that is about a $67 million budget today. I think we can all agree that's still very modest for a big sci-fi, a sequel that was a sequel to like the biggest movie of all time, right?
Yeah.
And it made how much? 500?
And 38 million.
538. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this. That is equivalent to $2 billion today.
Oh,
so if
wow.
that came out now, you're a $67 million budget and a $2 billion. It would be the most successful movie of all time by those metrics, pretty much. Maybe not, but pretty close.
And remember, this film was released, re-released, and released again. So with that said, I'm going to tell you guys, Matt Quick, just like A New Hope, I ran through quick the domestic worldwide numbers of the re-releases. 1982, re-release, $13 million. Not bad. 2 years later, right? A year before Return of the Jedi, right? Hits the theater. In 1997, the special edition version, $67 million.
Dang.
That's kind of high for a movie that's, you know what?
20,
yes.
It's almost 20 years old at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Star Wars May 4th Marathon in Australia, $340,000. Okay, in Australian money. 2015, re-release in the United Kingdom, $9 million. Wow. And in 2020, another re-release at $3 million. So, again...
I think that May 4th one is probably one day of shows. And it made a third of a million. So, it's pretty good.
You know what I'm just saying is, financially, George Lucas hit another hit with this one. And remember, it's not directed by him or in written, right? This is just story
by. Just the story. Lawrence Kasdan and someone else did the screenplay. Irvin Kershner directed, but still George Lucas's thing. But he just came up with the story. He was like, you know what? I'm gonna let these other guys make it, and I'm just gonna reap the benefits.
Smart move. It did. Work. It did. All right. So with that said, let's get to the Rotten Tomato scores and let's see what the audience and critics think about Empire Strikes Back.
All right. So by this point, you guys know our new format. We like to give you the scores and how much of an increase or decrease it was over the movie before it to let you know how it's trending. This one has, you guys are not going to be surprised, this has a 95% critic score, which is actually 2% higher than the first film. So that had 93, this is 95. And then the audience score is a 97, which is 1% higher than the original. So the original had a 93 and a 96. This is at a 95 and a 97. Not surprised when I looked these up.
No, not at all. Rich, surprise? Not surprised.
No, not at all. This is still one of my favorite Star Wars movies. So I'm not surprised.
There we go. We have it already. It's
right,
one
now,
of his favorites.
I want to say one thing we tried to do, Rich, just since you are, when we reviewed the last movie, and Alex, I took the same approach this time. I'm assuming you did too. We approached it as we like put ourselves in the mindset of 1980, not knowing what's coming after, not knowing, you know, the hoopla. Just in this film, how did these things work if I was sitting in the theater in 1980? Which was tough because usually we won't do that. But for a franchise like this, it, you know, people get jaded by the sequels and the prequels. And the, we tried to just block it out. Yeah. If I was sitting in the theater, how did these work?
Yeah, because sometimes like when we bring in a guest and they like the movie and then it's like five. Nostalgia. And regardless of what, I mean, you could be like, wait, really? Is it really a five? So we just try to say, I mean, we know. No, you love it because you just said you love it. But think about it from that time period. If you're watching it for the first time, the your numbers, okay?
I'm so still got some fives last week. So, yeah, you know, did, if it is, but, it is.
Yeah, there was not. There was some fives here and there in New Hope. But okay, with that said, let's start it off with the lead character. Now they're all back again for the sequel. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Princess Leia, 3CPO, and R2-D2, plus Lando Calrissian is up in here for a little bit of a up in here. So, with that said, Rich, you're going to take it. All right. You're going to be the first one. All right. Lead character. Okay. What did you think of the lead characters in this film?
Lead characters for this, I am going to give a 4. I still don't like Luke Skywalker. I have never been a big fan of Luke Skywalker. I like the characters around him. I think he's better when he's with more people on screen. You have to love Han. And I think I said it in a text to somebody that I don't like Princess Leia. I kind of wanted her to die in this.
I just knew. Wow.
But I love Chewie. I don't know why I love Chewie. Of course, R2-D2, C-3PO. Yeah, 4.
I think, Rich, when we talk about taking you to 1980, you didn't have to get that, like, take it away. He took it seriously. Yeah. Hey, man, I hate Princess Leia.
I want her to die.
He said. Yeah.
Ooh. Put that on the box. Put that on the DVD case. Princess Leia, I wish she would die. Faces for Radio.
Oh, my God. Oh, so you wanted her in the carbonite. She's like,
yeah.
All right. Damn. All right.
I didn't like the way she was rude to Han.
Because she was in love with her brother for some damn reason.
No, she
but
was
anyway.
In love with him. Yeah. That's why she was rude. It was like school kids, you know?
Yeah.
Little boy like you, you start pinching somebody. I hate you. Really like
All right, Nate, what you got? Lead character.
I disagree with Rich on a lot of things here. This I gave him a 5. Well, look, here's how I look at it. I was here last week for that episode. I gave him a 5 there as well. Even factoring, you know, taking out the fact that these are iconic characters, because they are at this point. I always look for, when we do these franchises, right? We always look for a growth. We always look for something. Don't get worse. You know, some of the Bond films, they'll be like great in one movie and then like whack in the next movie. This is a situation where Luke Skywalker, just going off Luke, first of all, Mark Hamill's performance is better in this movie than it was in the last movie, because he's kind of rough in that first Star Wars movie. I don't care. Mm-hmm. He was better here. But this is how you grow a character, right? All that stuff happened in the first film. Now he's part of the Rebel Alliance. Right away, he faces adversity, has to go to train, learn to become a Jedi. Like, these are progressions of a character that I enjoyed. Then at the end, right, he has to leave. In the third act, right before the third act, he wants to leave to save his friends. So it shows that he, you know, the bond he has with them. And Obi-Wan and Yoda are like, no, man, you can't. You're not ready. You're not. He's like, I got to do it. And that's a hero move, right? Even though he's not all the way ready, he's like, I got to do what I got to do. I think it was a great progression. He's still Luke Skywalker, but by the end of this movie, he's not the same Luke Skywalker that was at the end of the first movie, right? Got his hand chopped off, found out some big news about his father. You know, like, it's a lot. He goes through a lot, and I thought it was great. Everyone else is still great. Han is great. I like Leia, and I love them in this movie, Han and Leia. I love their whole dynamic. The, you know, he's constantly like, I know you like me. And she's like, get away. And he's like, no, you like me. And I love it. I think it's fun. So yeah, I give him a 5. I like him. Love him.
Yeah, I think in terms of the hero's journey, because that's what you look for in the franchise, I think they did a great job with Luke Skywalker in terms of movie, because I thought he was a whiny bitch in The New Hope. He was like, oh no, what's going on here? Like, this one, he was a little bit, he was a little bit like he was a little irking me when he was in Dagobah. I was like, bro, the dude is telling you to like he's gonna take you to Yoda. He's like, where's Yoda? I gotta get to you. I'm like, bro, you're in a swamp. Like, relax. Like, you're not going anywhere. Like, and that's the thing, patience. He had no patience, and just like his dad, Anakin had no patience for nothing. Mm-hmm. So you saw the similarities when you start to see the Anakin Skywalker on screen, because Luke had no patience until he got older. He's like telling everyone else about patience. I'm like, bro, he's the wrong person for that.
No, you gotta learn it. If you learn it, then you can tell someone else about it.
Yeah. What you got, Rich?
I wanted Yoda to drown him. I really did.
Yeah, wow. Certain things with the training, I was just like, okay. Certain, which I will talk about in storyline, because there's some things that nitpicked me during that whole training in Dagobah. But in terms of Luke, I think Luke's arc in terms of this film, I thought it was great. I mean, he met his dad. He found out who his dad was. I still don't understand the whole him and his sister making out most of the time.
But they still don't know that they're brother and sister.
Yeah.
No, but you can't really get mad about it. Like, you don't,
I'm not getting mad. No, I'm just saying
if you literally meet a girl and she's mad pretty and you go out with her and then you find out it's your sister later, you can't be blamed for liking her.
That is true.
I totally understand that. But I'm just saying within the Force, he should know that's his sister, because that's how he felt it in Return of the Jedi. He found out that that's his sister through the Force. And he talked to her through the Force.
Yeah,
saying, Leia.
But he didn't finish his training. he didn't finish his training. So he wouldn't fully know that's definitely my sister.
But Yoda and Obi-Wan knew. They should have been like, yo,
they knew because they're masters. They didn't tell him, though. That's kind of dirty.
Saying. They're the ones who split them up. Yeah. Yoda said, put one over here and the other one put the other over there. So anyway, in terms of that, I mean, I thought that was weird, but I thought Han Solo was the same. I thought he was funnier in this one. Mm-hmm. I thought that's the Harrison Ford, I like the charismatic version. He was all over the place. I loved him with that. I love when he's trying to fix the Millennium Falcon and Chewbacca puts the wrench set right there and they hit the Millennium Falcon and the whole wrench, he goes, ah! You hear the toolbox is falling. Like, I thought, oh, that's funny. And him messing around going, we're going to hyperspeed, and he's talking about smack. And then when he hits it, he goes, what's wrong? What's going on? And he thought I fixed it. He was like, what? Yeah. And then my man R2, I love R2. He's like, they turned off the warp speed, and they're like, oh, making fun of him, a 3CPO, like the banter. Everyone had great chemistry within each other. Even like, you don't know what the hell the droids are talking between R2-D2 and 3CPO. Like, you don't know their language, but you know what they're talking about. Like, I think 3CPO gives you enough information, and you know when R2 goes boop, 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 you already know what he's cursing him out or he's doing something. And I always thought that was fun. But in terms of lead characters, this one I thought was way better than A New Hope in terms of lead characters. I gave A New Hope a 4, I believe, for lead character. This one, definitely I'm giving a 5, because I thought the arcs and everything, the characters were all better. Okay, main villain, Darth Vader's back again. Okay, Vader's back. James Earl Jones is back.
This time he's
the Empire's back. Emperor Papu Ting Ting is back. They're showing him for the first time on screen, and the Emperor. So, all right, Nate, take it away.
Yeah.
What did you think of this time? Because I know you gave Vader a 4.
I did.
For the first time.
People could get mad, but that's okay. I felt like I had good arguments. He was on screen for 8 minutes. What do you want from me? Mm. You know, 8 minutes of screen time. He had a little more here. We're up to 11 for this film. So 11. Now, I will say his 11 minutes in this movie were better than his 8 minutes in the first movie. I'm just going to be honest. The lightsaber fight with him and Luke, better than the lightsaber fight with him and Obi-Wan in the first film. Now, still, you know, a little, you know, slower. We're not talking like prequels where they're going like super fast, but better, still better. Also, he freaking chokes a guy through a TV screen. Amazing. Kills that guy.
I love that.
Yeah, it's one of the best scenes. And then dropping a bomb on Luke right at the end. Right? Just like, dude, join the dark side. I'm your dad. We could fly around and be dad and son. And Luke's like, no, I don't want it. He's like, yes, you do. I'm your pops. I love him. I love him in this. This is the Vader that I could see if people were like, this is one of the greatest villains of all time, this version. So I'm going to bump his 4 to a 5, because I thought he was used way better in this. And even though the Emperor appears in this movie, remember in the first one we talked about, Vader felt mostly like a overpowered henchman. He wasn't in charge. And here, he feels like he's in charge. And then you get that scene with the Emperor in the hologram, whatever. So it's better. It's a 5.
All right, Rich. Main villain, Darth Vader.
I echo whatever Nate just said. It's five. I love the way he's presented in this. I love his lines, too. I love the way he... Hey, James Earl Jones. That's his name, right? James Earl Jones. Okay. Delivers the lines. He seems powerful. He doesn't seem weak. Yeah. It's easy a five for me.
Yeah. Darth Vader got a five for me. I mean, straight five. Yeah. I mean, the minute he choked one dude to death, and then he goes, all right, now you're the admiral. And the guy was like, oh, damn. He was just like, I don't want to be an admiral. Everyone that becomes an admiral, he kills. And, you know, and it mirrors, for those of you out there, it mirrors to Kylo Ren when he's angry and he starts destroying everything. Like, everyone's like, let's get away from this dude, because it is just, he's so dark side. It's just like, he could just kill and get someone's replacement. So I like that Darth Vader. I love the fight scenes between him and Luke. Between that, I thought those were great.
Yeah.
Again, the whole speech with him is like, I'm your father. You know, you could feel it, you know, search inside you. He's like, no. My thing is, me and my wife said the same thing. Why would you wait to cut your son's hand off to tell him you're the father? He was like, oh.
That was his bow bow for fighting him.
That was his bow bow. His timeout.
You know, you hit your kid and you'd be like, but I did this because I love you.
But there was a scene. There was one scene. I rewinded it a bit because I wanted to see if you guys caught it. I don't know if you guys did, but there's a scene that Leia was next to Darth Vader and she looks scared as shit and she started to move backwards. And I'm like, did she realize that that's her father? Like, with through the force, like, yo, this dude is my dad. Like, let me move backwards. Cause like, I don't know. Like, I just felt like that one scene, like she like maybe mind read him and just went, yeah, like this dude is about to give me a,
I think she would have said something. Huh? I think she would have said something.
Yeah, but she's a princess. Like, she just keeps it to herself. She's a strong figure. She just kept the information. Yeah. Like, also,
you gotta remember, too, at this point in this film, in this franchise, two movies, like, the writers have not told us that
it's more brother
and sister, or who's their dad. So, if it is, it is a very good piece of subtle, foreshadowing, which I didn't notice, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, because if you see, like, he walked in and she just went, like, like, mad scared, like, she just sensed it, like a little sense.
And plus, he's intimidating.
Yeah, that's true.
You just look at him compared to the stormtroopers.
Yeah, but she wasn't intimidated by him when in A New Hope when he got her through the ship. She wasn't scared.
Oh, that's
true. She was just like,
because she got up in
his face. She was all up in his face. She was like, you ain't getting the information, bitch. And he was like, oh, yeah? And let me get the probe with the but this time.
Not this time.
This time, I think her Jedi powers enhanced a bit because of Luke, because they could mind read. And I think her powers in the novels, thing my wife said, is that she could read your mind, like read and shit.
Right.
So I think she hit the father with it going, whoa, like, oh, no. Like, this dude just cut Luke's hand off. No, well, actually that happened way before, but yeah, like that's the cool thing. Like, Luke has the power of foreshadowing. He can see the future of what happens. I think Leia has more of a connection with people that she's family with. That's why her and Rey, Rey and Kylo, how her and, like, she went into Kylo. Well, we'll talk about that in the other one. But in this one, I think the main villain was awesome. So I give it a five, okay? Action scenes, Rich. What you got for the action?
I love the action in this, from the beginning opening sequence to the snow planet. You got the Bigfoot thing. And then you got the battles with the AT-T or AT-AT, whatever the hell you want to call them.
Yeah.
And then you got the space battles. You got the lightsaber battles. Yeah, this is an easy five for me.
Oh, baby. Whoa. All right, Nate, go ahead. Bring it down to the four.
Here we go.
All right. I get scared when Nate.
But before you do that. But what about, what I loved about this movie the most, I don't know why, it's simple, is when they used the grappling hook. It looked
awesome.
It looked amazing when they did that for that time.
With the harp?
You're like, oh my God, that looks real.
Yeah. With the plane, when they're tying them up?
Yeah, with the speeder
the
thing.
The harpoon. Wasn't the harpoon? I think the
harpoon, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a big long rope and it ties them up.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Yeah, I love the lightsaber battles, but that shot where they're fighting there is one of my favorites.
I think the effects are great and they still hold up. You know, we talked about it in the first movie. I think these movies still look great. They look practical. Sure, some of the stuff here and there is like, okay, they did a green screen, but I mean, who cares? It looks fantastic. All right. So in the first, I gave the first movie a four in the action.
Yeah, you did.
And that movie had more action than this movie did. So I was like, this one has less less than the first movie. However, I agree with Rich. The Hoth scene at the beginning is great. It's great. It, you know, me and Alex talked about the fact that we love the space battles. And this has minimal. It has like a chase with the Millennium Falcon and stuff like that. The asteroid field. Like, and it's good. But it's not as good as like the end of the first movie where they're just out there in space flying all around like crazy. However, the Hoth scene gives you some of that with a different terrain. Right now we're white, we're in the snow, we got these things that are walking. Pretty cool. I think it's a great action scene. The lightsaber fight with Darth Vader and Luke is very good. And I really enjoy it. And not just good, like it's shot very well. It looks awesome. The scene where Luke turns around and Vader's just standing there in the dark and there's like smoke coming up behind him. Like you could frame that. It's a picture you could put on the wall. You know what I mean? So the action shot better. So I was torn. At first I was like going to give this a 3, honestly, because I was like, there's not a lot, but it's very good. I landed on a 4 because by the end, with the Darth Vader fight and then the last sort of chase scene, I said, you know what? One had more, but this one has like equally as quality. So I gave it a 4 as well. Still not a 5 for me.
Oh no, this one has a 5. This one is a 5. The lightsaber battle between father and son in the dark is one of the most cinematic pieces in history. I don't know why in God's green earth we never got that shit in the newer trilogies. In the dark, because they could have did so much awesomeness. The tension between Luke and Darth Vader and that him coming out of Dagobah, and he's going, wait a minute, you're about to kill my friends, my sister. Well, he doesn't know that, but my friends, my lover at the time. He's like, no way. This is not happening. And his father's trying to tempt him to the dark side. I'm going to keep you for the emperor and try to freeze his ass in carbonite. He's like, wait a minute. That tension is so dope. Then the space battles. Yeah, I mean, I like the space. They were great. I mean, the whole Millennium Falcon flying through the, like you said, through the field. That is cool. Him hiding behind one of the destroyers as like a cloaking device. I thought that was cool too. The Hoth scene was dope. I was like, you know what? This actually looked really good for a 1980s film. I was like, it was dope. But I think the father and son, I think that is where I elevated to a 5. Because I totally forgot that shit went dark and they cutting all the tubes and smoke is everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this is tension. What is going to happen? That's what I kept thinking, like, what will happen between Darth and... I mean, you already know what's going to happen, but...
They were doing an Undertaker and Mankind boiler room brawl.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. But honestly, yeah. I thought it was... I thought, in terms of this one, I thought this one was way better than A New Hope in terms of action. I think they did a great job to put you into the mindset of Luke. Like, holy crap. Not as trained with the sword, but a little bit more seasoned to go up against his father. Because then when he does go up against his father, we already know what happened. But that I think that's the cool part about this sequel in terms of action. It's like it gives it to you, cinematic. You get the best line in cinema history, I'm your dad. And then you get the father-son battle and loses. So I thought that was great. So 5 for me, 5 for Rich, 4 for Nate. Okay, storyline.
Oh, this is a 5. This is the best. This one, I love this movie. So I just think, you know, it's so different. It's so different than the first film while still feeling like a sequel to the first film. You know what I mean? And this is what you should do when you're making a sequel. Do not make the same exact movie you just made. Do something different. This movie is way darker than the first film. It has a feeling of dread over the whole entire movie. You know, there's not a lot of like happy moments. There's some still humor, you know, with C-3PO mostly when he gets all in pieces. And you have to have levity, right? You have to have like break the tension. But for the most part, this is a serious movie. The characters really go through it. And the thing I love is everyone always talks about like, oh, you know, Infinity War. And I like that film. Thanos wins. And this movie did it first. This movie did it first because at the end of this film, sure, the heroes, they're alive, but Han is freaking frozen. He's a statue. Who even knows where he is? Luke got his hand chopped off and found out his dad is the most evil guy in the galaxy. You know, like, they're not winners. You know what I mean? And Darth Vader is sitting pretty at the moment when this movie ends. And what I love about the way it's written is the fact that, again, if this ended and there was no sequel, it's still an ending. You know, it's not a cliffhanger. This is not a cliffhanger ending. They're on a ship. They could literally just go on their way and Han was, you know, a victim. And sometimes that happens. He's a casualty. And I love that about these movies is that they don't do that thing of like, wait till next time. You know what I mean? Like a cliffhanger. Yeah. It just ends. And it's like, dang, that was a bummer, but it's an ending. And I loved it. I gave it a 5. Mm.
Yeah. All right, Rich.
I'm right with you there too, Nate. I gave it a 5. What I like, there's so many little fires going on in this whole movie. You know, you got the Han Solo story, Jabba's after him. And then you have the Luke and Leia thing, or the Han and Leia thing. Then you have the Luke and Darth Vader thing, but you never feel lost. It's told so well, you get what's going on, but there's still more mystery to it. That's what I like.
What do you give it?
So 5.
5. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. You know, you guys both said everything. I agree with you, Nate. It does feel dread. It does feel like that. You know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me. It reminds me of Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Yeah, that whole movie's very dark. Yeah.
If it had that same, and I'm not meaning it's like the same story. I mean, in terms of if you see that movie from Raiders and Last Crusade, and if you put this one, it has the Empire Strikes Back feel. It's just a serious movie throughout the whole thing.
You think they did that on purpose?
I mean, George Lucas is involved in both.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
And
yeah.
Steven Spielberg. So I mean, Steven Spielberg not part of this, but
I'm sure he talked to them. I bet.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they did, but it had that feel. Like even when Han is about to get smoked about the carbonite, it looked exactly like Dr. Jones under the voodoo curse when he's just standing there, like mad possessed. But I liked it. I thought again, this had a great storyline compared to New Hope's founded, you know, foundation. But this is where you got to go with a sequel, like. Everyone got elevated story-wise, you know, and they started to end the plot holes, right? Not the plot holes, but they started to end the story. Jabba's about to get Han Solo, so that story is going to be done before, you know, after the Return of the Jedi. So you're good with that.
They introduce a new character who's like, is he good? Is he bad? Like, who is this guy?
Which you didn't know anyway, because even Han said he was like, well, I haven't played with him in a long time ago. And Chewbacca knew who he was, because when he started cursing all over, he was like, and I was just like, holy hell. So that's right. They introduced a new character. They started closing some storylines. Princess Leia, you can see starting to fall in love with Han towards the ending of the whole thing when he's like, I know. So
love that line.
Yeah, that was a great line. Darth Vader even got even more villainy. He was just like, you're going to test it out on Han. And then if it works, then Luke. I love that. I was like, there we put Luke in it for the Emperor. And I was like, that is actually really cool. And I agree with you, Nate. The ending for me, I wanted more. Because I was like, where are we going? I was like, I really want more of it. Like, this would have been an awesome two-parter. Like, it just continue going filming. But yeah, the ending of them on the ship and then just off they go and it's like, bam, bam, da, 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 da. I would have been tight in 1980. I don't know, what do you do to me, man? Yeah, I would have been kind of tight.
Then again, movies weren't doing the whole cliffhanger thing. So maybe people were not, you know, they were just used to it.
Yeah.
This movie's over. We gotta go home.
That's true. I mean, that's true. All right, so with storyline, again, I gave it a 5. 5 across the board here. Okay, overall, meaning the entire picture, Rich.
Easy, 5. I love everything from the beginning, opening scenes on Hoth, to the end where Darth Vader's looking out into the space. I love that shot. You see his shiny helmet. He turns around. You see his face. And then there you go, the end.
Love it. Nate?
I love it.
5. Perfect film, in my opinion. I know I gave action a 4. That doesn't make this not a perfect film. It just didn't need it didn't need the action. We got some, but there could have been, you know, nothing less. And I still would have loved this movie because the storytelling is great. The characters are great. The villain is great. The visuals are there. And iconic. This is I think this has the, obviously, like, no, I'm your father. It's like one of the most iconic lines in the history of films. Like, people who have never seen Star Wars know that line. I mean, they say it wrong. They always say, Luke, I'm your father. It doesn't matter. They know it, and they know that it's from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And that is the type of thing where there's only a handful of movies that someone can quote that they've never even seen the movie. You know what I mean? And as far as visuals, this has some of the best ones. Like you mentioned, the fight in the dark. Just the setup of it, though. Iconic visuals. Hoth as a setting. Everyone remembers the snow planet where it's all snowing everywhere and stuff like that. You know, the first movie, everything's on a ship. They're on a ship and they're on Tatooine in the desert for a little bit. Here, they have more locations. It's just better in every way, in my opinion. So I gave it a 5.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. This is a 5 for me, too. It has everything. Suspense. You have twist turns here and there, right? You got father and son. You got freaking friendships, right? Being tested. And you really don't know who's going to die, who's going to live. Like, when you're watching this movie, you really don't know. Especially with Vader being what he was. He was killing everybody. You really did not know if he was going to kill, if he caught them. if he was going to kill these people, because he was at that point, like he was just killing. And I loved it. I'm like I said, I loved it when he was killing every single emerald there was. Mm-hmm. He was like, don't fail me now. And he choked him out. Like, and I loved it. I thought that was like really cool. So yeah, I mean, and then the score was awesome.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The score always was like, it was really awesome. John Williams' score is dope in this one.
You guys ever wonder what would have been like if Steven Spielberg directed one of these like the 80s Star Wars? I don't know. I just think, because he's my favorite director. And I'm not saying this because he's my favorite, but I am saying at this time, he's almost like, he had two peaks, late 70s and 80s, and then with the Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, right? Those were his peaks into the 90s. After that, he still makes good films, but I just feel like it would have been even maybe better. Because he was doing, you know, he did sci-fi at this time, and he did the Indiana Jones movies with George Lucas. And I wonder if he wouldn't have just like absolutely crushed one of these Star Wars movies. But
I'll tell you this.
I would have loved to see him do Return of the Jedi.
I wanted Steven Spielberg, if George Lucas was attached with the final three films, I wanted him to end the entire saga as his best friend, because they're best friends.
Yeah.
So I wanted him to, Lucas to start it, because he did A New Hope, and then his best friend Spielberg ends the entire saga with George Lucas. I would have been in the theater all day. I don't know, oh my God.
We'll never know.
We would never, that would never happen. But I remember, I think they did interview George, Steven Spielberg, asking him if he would ever, and he said no. That was like George Lucas's baby and all this
That's
stuff.
Fair. Yeah, I understand. I just feel like in my mind, like, yeah, it probably would have been even more amazing, honestly.
But I have a feeling, though, and I think if George would have went to him going, I want you to be the final director for my franchise as our friendship, I think he would have did it. Together, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg directing, I would have been going like, oh.
Especially if Disney didn't own it, I think he would have been
mean.
More.
That's what I mean. Like, if it was Lucasfilm, like, doing the final 8 and 9, not this, I think they would have been like, nah, I'm not. He was like, nah, get out of my face. Like, but anyway, with that said, total points across the board. Rich?
24.
Mm. Oof.
All right, Nate?
Same. 24 out of a 25. Leave it to me, the hardcore action guy who's mean, but otherwise almost a 25 out of 25.
Well, you know what? I did it for both of you guys. 25 out of 25. I think Empire Strikes Back. Look, honestly, I think it doesn't matter if it's 24, 25, 26 to 30. This movie is a perfect sci-fi film wrapped in one.
This is a classic.
I agree.
All right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Well, next week we'll be doing a movie, or next episode we'll be doing a movie that I don't know if it's a classic or not, but it's a Bruce Willis movie. And we're going to be doing a little movie from the 90s, another 90s Willis, called The Jekyll. And Rich is going to be back for that show, so he'll be joining us again to cover that one.
I'm excited.
Yes, and then next week, look at this, a good short franchise, Alex. We're going Return of the Jedi. That's it. And then we're moving on. You know, we always do these franchises that have like 5 movies, 6 movies, 8 movies. This one got 3, baby. So we're going to do a Return of the Jedi, just you and I, no guest, and we'll wrap up this franchise.
All right, there you have it, Rich. Thank you so much for sitting down with us for Empire Strikes Back.
Thank you for having me, man. Again, thank you. I appreciate you two more than you guys know. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Next episode. Can. So again, guys, there you have it. You guys want to follow Rich, please head over to...
Please do, at TurnerFan77 on Instagram. And head over to YouTube at Faces for Radio YouTube channel. And my personal channel is TurnerFan77.
So there you guys have it. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, you can follow us on Geeks and Flicks Instagram page. Or now we're going live on YouTube back March 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. There's no more Monday nights. It's Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be back with a brand new show for you guys. 1 hour show for fun. And of course, you guys go to our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. And other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.